Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. Past week, Layla Alcorn wrote a note, posted it on her Tumblr, describing the horrors that she faced at her home and then walked into the path of an oncoming semi. Layla was transgender and living in a home where her parents religiously did not believe in a person being transgender. As a result of Layla's death, a public outcry to pass laws to end conversion therapy has swept through the mainstream media and has generated several petitions concerning banning the therapy. We are having a special Bicast episode just about how Layla's death could have been preventable and to talk with Allison Wolbert, co-host of the Bicast and executive director of the Transgender Human Rights Institute, as to why she started the petition that has sparked national attention. I'm Lynette.
I'm John.
And I'm Allison Wolbert.
Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hey.
So, Allison, can you give us some background about Layla and her story?
Where do I start? So, Layla Alcorn was a transgender youth, 17 years old, and last week, Layla wrote a Tumblr post describing the torment that she had gone through with her parents, who were basically religious fundamentalists, and told us of what her life was like. And then she told us what she had been living with for 5 years as a transgender youth. And the horror of this note was so powerful to me and to so many other people that, you know, everybody was basically in shock for a little while with it. Now, what sadly and tragically has happened is Layla felt that she could no longer live her life. She just said, society is messed up, and I can't keep living like this. And she stepped in front of a semi-truck on I-71 in Ohio. It's egregious. It's horrible. It's terribly, terribly sad. And it's preventable. That's the thing about Layla's story and Layla's life, is this was preventable. And so that's the basis of the story at this point, and then we can let's go through the what really happened and what's going on now.
I understand Layla's parents had religious objections to a person being transgender. Allison, you were raised in that particular religious sect. Shed light on what it was like growing up being transgender in this type of environment and what Layla had described as possibly gone through.
Well, I did grow up in an environment, in a religious sect of which Layla's parents forced her to go to. I was a member of the Church of Christ. This is not the United Churches of Christ. This is the fundamentalist extremists. These are the, like in our church, you couldn't sing music with instruments, for example. That was banned. So they were only a cappella in the church. They believed in heavy patriarchal belief system. The women were not allowed to speak in the church. The elders were in charge. They were the ultimate people who were were God's chosen ones, if you will. Just really a very twisted religious belief system of, you know, the jot and the tittle of the law, as they say. They don't have a doctrinal statement. They believe that the Bible says whatever the doctrine is, and they are homophobic, transphobic, not accepting of anything, highly judgmental, and quite adamant that they are the right church. That's one of the things that sets it aside from most other churches. They say they are the one true church. They have not been classified as a hate group yet. They have also not been classified as a cult. This is also the same church that the mother, and I'm trying to remember her name, the mother killed her three children not too long ago. And she was a minister's wife, Andrea Yates, and she was a member of the Church of Christ. And this is, you know, a person that literally killed her own kids. So there's some real problems in this congregation, and I grew up under that setting. My mother is still a devout fundamentalist. She has exiled many members of my family. I was speaking to a cousin yesterday that's been exiled due to what she perceives are egregious religious sins. I've suffered through what Leela described. I've suffered through isolation. I've suffered through being kept from my friends. I've suffered through, although Leela did not imply physical violence in her note, I've suffered through the beatings, you know, of spare the rod, spoil the child. They take that literally, and they mean a rod. Mm-hmm. You know, you got, I guess, bank mm-hmm. of fly spots, blah, 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 blah. So there is a serious problem with this. Now, the other thing is they don't believe transgender people exist. What they believe is that it is a sin, that it is a sexual immorality. And it's mm-hmm. the same for gay, lesbian, and bisexual people. So this is what this sect believes. And this is torture. I mean, for Leela, her note spoke so clearly. She was terribly depressed. She had been isolated from her friends. They had torn her out of school. They literally ripped her out of the educational system that she was in and kept her in the house. All the neighbors, all the friends were told they couldn't come over. That's what, you know, her note describes. But this is the situation. And her mother got on CNN in the past 5 days and just said, "Well, don't believe in this religiously." It's tragic.
It's really tragic. I heard mother say, "Well, she only mentioned that once, and then she never talked about it again." Well, I could see why she never did. Yeah, she took the parents took her to their Christian therapist, which basically told her, from what I understand, that you know they could talk her out of it.
Yeah, well, I think that is really the issue at point here, is this idea of conversion therapy, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I really grieve for the parents too, even though they did really wrong their child and didn't love them unconditionally. I still feel for the family. It's an awful thing to happen.
It's a horrible thing.
You know, one of the things that I can describe for everyone, for the viewers, is how it was like in my life coming out. And you just spoke to Lynette to the fact, and this is kind of what came out of my mind, was that, you know, what was it like for Leela to tell her mom and her dad that she was transgender? And at 5 years old, when I came out, I put a blouse on, some makeup on, and then sat down in the living room, and I was ripped up, literally just snatched up. Now, again, this is a five-year-old child. This is a little, little, tiny boy at the time. And drug into the bathroom and yell, you know, my mother yelling at me, "You will never do this again," scrubbing off my face with the makeup and ripping the blouse off me. "You will never do this again. This, you're going to go to hell." I mean, that's 5 years old. That's a terrifying thing to have happen to you in a household that was a constant reminder that if you sinned, you were going to hell. And we believed that that was going to happen. I mean, I was convinced that I was headed to hell at 5 years old. I was convinced. So, you know, I don't know how Leela's experience went, but that was my experience in that type of denomination and what happened. Obviously, my mother is not her mother, but that will give you some insight into what the stories are that we're hearing from different people and my life.
Well, parental acceptance is everything for a child, and if your parents are telling you that transgenderism is a sin and you'll go to hell, they're basically telling you that you're wrong and you're evil and you're going to hell. And you know, children are internalized that quickly. We all would internalize that if it was someone we loved. And she just sounded like she got tired of fighting.
Yeah, very much so.
We understand that. We don't encourage that though. And the thing that bothered me is there is so many resources for transgender people to contact now. Social media has brought forth a place to talk about what's going on with you, to you know, Facebook groups, build a little family, talk about the issues that you're having. You know, there's lifelines you could call. You can find out all kinds of information, you know, affirming that you're okay. So, and I'm sorry that we failed her here.
Yeah.
When there was so much to give her.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking that, you know, like as the holiday season approached, on my Facebook feed were tons of resources, suicide hotlines and, you know, coping, as LGBT person during the holiday season. And, you know, we do what we can, and it's not enough for everyone. It's like, I think that this is a clarion call. I mean, I think Leela's death, is bringing it to a point of like showing the public that we have a lot of work to do and this has to be more public. And, you know, it's good to have the Trevor Project on MTV talking to kids about how to deal with and cope when they're feeling hopeless.
Yeah. So that kind of leads us into our next question. Why do you think this has caused such a huge outcry by so many people and sparked such an outrage?
I think there's a lot of factors that fed into that. I think first off, Leela's note is incredibly detailed. It talks so much about her journey, how she felt, what she was going through, the humanity and the depression and the pain and the suffering that she was going through comes out loud and clear. The frustration that she had connected to every person's heart. And Leela was a fantastic individual from what we can see and what we know and what she wrote. She felt hopeless, though. And we all, you know, read her note and just was like, oh, how could we have failed this person? How? And then there's a real upswell, I think, of people that just say, you know something? We're going to stop this. This can't happen anymore. We see what's happened here. We see the oppression. We see the torture that she went through. Let's end it. And I think it connected so greatly to so many of our transgender youth, especially, that there's really been an outcry in the whole LGBTQ community and our allies that we can't allow this anymore. We cannot allow Leela on any level, anybody who is LGBTQI, we can't allow them to try to force convert somebody and kill another one of our youth. And I really honestly think and again, I've read literally hundreds of stories that the youth have sent us of 17-year-olds, 15-year-olds saying, I'm in Leela's situation. My mom won't let me talk about it. They've told me I have to be a boy. They've told me I have to be a girl. I don't know what to do. We have hundreds of these stories that say, I'm living just like Leela is now. What do I do? And I think that outcry has just sparked the other half of it, which is the entire outrage of how dare you do this to a child or a youth.
Yeah. Talk more. Can you talk more about what we used to call reparative therapy now is being called conversion therapy. Just educate us a little bit more about that.
Oh, sure. You know, conversion therapy, it's a really simple brainwashing technique. You just keep denying the person's identity, and you tell them, you know, it's a sin, or this is not who you are, or you're mentally ill, or this is what's causing your depression, and you keep going back and forth and saying, no, you're a specific gender, you can't be this person, you have to be this, you know, and it's a brainwashing technique, it's that simple, it's a torture technique, and it's been ruled out over and over and over again. The American Association of Pediatrics, for instance, says, you know, you, and I'm looking for that quote, but this could lead to self-mutilation and suicide. The APA, you know, calls on psychologists to not do these kind of treatments towards anybody.
Mm-hmm.
National Social Workers Association, you know, treatment can potentially lead to severe emotional damage. The American Counseling Association, you know, counselors have to act to avoid harming their clients. This harms their client. We know it causes suicides. We know it causes depression. We know it causes trauma, trying to change people's sexual orientation or their gender identity. And that's what's happened here. That's mm-hmm. what conversion therapy is. They want to change the person and get them, you know, to heterosexuality and gender binaries. They want to force that through torture.
And it is torture. And they don't. The people who are doing it don't think it is. But, you know, I understand why she felt like she got to the point where she was just done, because there's a bleakness there when you treat someone like that. You feel like a non-person after a while.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, some of what I read from Leila's words is that, you know, people that call themselves Christian therapists and then say that she's mentally ill, the purpose of therapy is to take someone who is mentally ill and to help heal them. And, you know, gender dysphoria is a mental health issue. And, you know, the way that you treat that is to help this child understand their gender and help them transition into their proper gender. And when that's not happening, they're not helping, they're hurting.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Very much hurting.
Yeah. The second part of the question is the change.org and the whitehouse.gov petitions. We've seen like lots and lots of people rise up and sign and share. And Allison, you talk a little bit more about how those campaigns are going?
Sure. Right now, I'm looking at the change.org petition that we want to ban transgender conversion therapy. There are 273,000 people that say they want this banned. That's enormous. Now, we reached 100,000 people in the first day that we presented this. It was one of the fastest growing petitions on change.org site in 2014. And this petition is going fantastic. People get it. They don't want these conversion therapies. They know that in New Jersey and California we've had them banned, and they want to see this banned throughout the nation. They want President Obama to step up to the plate, work with whatever he needs to do, and get this therapy method banned. So that was the change.org petition. We opened up yesterday because so many people wanted another petition on whitehouse.gov. We on the We the People site, we opened up a second petition. It's been open a little less than 24 hours, and we have 24,000 signatures on it today. At 100,000 signatures on that petition, the president promises he will respond, or the White House will respond. So we're hopeful to see President Obama step up to the plate once this reaches 100,000. We certainly need people to go to that petition and sign. We were hoping to get him to sign, you know, get this up completely to 100,000 by tomorrow. But we've only had it open a little over 24 hours, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But we're hopeful that people will go and sign and get it up to the 100K.
Well, so everybody out there, let's get that out there. Let's sign that, and let's share that wherever we can, okay?
The links will be provided for signatures.
Absolutely. Okay, so we understand that the TERFs have contacted the parents of Leila and offered her support.
Yeah.
Given the religious beliefs of these parents, why in the world they would consider accepting help from the TERFs?
You know, it is just amazing to me what these very sick individuals will do. It is just astounding to me. You know, for you as a person who is adamantly hate-filled to go to this family and say, oh, we're here for you. All they want to do is use that family as a baseball bat to try to hurt transgender people. You know, Gender Identity Watch and the mental degenerates that run that site have continued to just pound into transgender people. They have no interest in educating people. They have no interest in preventing anything. What they want to do is encourage people to harm us, and that's really what they're doing. To go to the parents of a transgender youth that has just committed suicide is sickening. It's absurd, and I am so sickened by their continual distortion, lies, manipulations. It's just incredibly gross. I know, John, you've seen some of this around on the Facebooks and Twitters and stuff today, haven't you?
Oh, I've seen some of it. And, you know, like I have a history with Brennan myself. So, you know, I don't put anything past her as a leader of the TERF group. It's really, you know, it's really sad and sick, you know?
Yeah. That is the word for it, sick.
And sad.
I mean, I I'm pagan, but I have like Christian charity for the lost souls, the lost lambs, and these are some very lost lambs, way in the woods.
I think they're freaking in, standing on cliffs. These degenerates are just beyond the pale. I mean, they really are. And, you know, they want to use a weapon of a family to attack people who, one, just came straight out. Leela just came straight out and said, you know, fix society. This is what we're talking about that has to be fixed. We're talking about people like the TERFs, Randy Cofield, who's adamantly an anti-transgender hater. We've got to talk about them. We've got to talk about Liberty Justice League.
Ooh, yes.
You know, and their adamant hate. They absolutely believe that, you know, the parents should be able to beat a child to death and should be protected for it. I mean, that's kind of what they've done here. It's sick. It's disgusting.
You know, John, you mentioned lost lambs. I understand that. But when you're hurting other people, when you're endangering other people, my sympathy stops very much. I mean, I certainly don't want ill harm to come to them, but they need to stop hurting other people. And they are. I mean, they're damaging these youths. They're damaging grown-up people, you know. So it's good to have charity in your heart, but it has to stop. Because it's just dangerous.
This is true. It's horrible, horrible things. I mean, they haven't really addressed the fact that Leela was transgender and died. I haven't seen anything addressing that. What I've seen is that, you know, the standard spiel of this male child who was, you know, sick or whatever, and that is incredibly, incredibly revolting. At this point, given Leela's suicide note, given her words, their twisting of her life, her last written message in life, is despicable.
Yeah, and I understand as parents, they followed a doctrine that they truly believed in, and they truly believed they were doing the right thing by their child, and that I understand that. I truly understand that. But we have to go to the source of why that's wrong. And in conversion therapy and doctrines that push this, you know, it's trickle-down effect. And people that would never have been villains end up being. And children die.
I was going to say that I don't see much difference in terms of doctrine of the conversion therapy, born-again Christians, and the TERFs. They're different ideologies, but they're very strict, hardcore ideologies. And when people follow like these strict doctrines, they don't see the world as it actually is.
Well, you know, and there's a whole psychological thing about that, that people will do things that they would have never normally done on their own. I mean, and think that it's right. And there's a psychology behind all of that. And it's rough. It's how cold. People drink Kool-Aid over things like this.
You know, I can't feel sorry for these parents. I don't have the empathy for these parents. And I've got to tell you why. I don't have empathy for my own mother for torturing me.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that have – the internet is available. There is a wide source of body of information that decries what they're doing is wrong. This is not something – Leela's death was preventable. I cannot feel sorry for the perpetrators of criminal activity against Leela and torturing her and feel sorry for these people. These are perpetrators of torture. These are perpetrators of inflicting harm. These are perpetrators who ripped the education, her friends, isolated her. I can't have compassion for this family. It's not possible. These are perpetrators of crimes that they ultimately destroyed their daughter, and she walked out in front of a semi-truck. I don't know what her last thoughts were, but I certainly can't imagine they were of her family, but I can certainly imagine they were potentially... I want to say potentially here. They were potentially of all the suffering, all the pain, all the brainwashing, all this crap that they had forced down her throat that she had to hide her whole life and then walked out in front of a semi. I just can't give them empathy or sympathy, even as parents. That's not a parent. That's a perpetrator. That's a victimizer. That's a couple that did not care about their child, regardless of their twisted beliefs. These are people who killed someone through their actions and through their inaction to get proper treatment.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. I look at it, as dealing with homicide. Victim survivors and how over the years, people that were really just vindictive against the accused, changed. And, for her family, this is a very tragic thing. And like, of course, they're going to be like denying that they are responsible at this point. I hope that, part of their healing process, though, is going to have to, they're going to have to understand the role that they played and, the doctrine that they abided by that really caused this. And it is tragic. It's tragic for everyone.
Yeah. So this next question, so what is Leela's Law? Did we already answer that?
I'm not sure. Basically, Leela's Law is making every possible attempt to ban conversion therapy that can hurt transgender and gay, lesbian, bisexual, and queer kids. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, and, as a bisexual, I went through a therapist who told me I had to choose my orientation of being either gay or straight. So, even our own people in some cases can be detrimental to our mental health when we're dealing with therapists.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I wish we would get a national data. There is a growing number of bisexual therapists and transsexual therapists, or what they call friendly, and we have one therapist who actually started a kind of a pool of therapists to trade information in their area. I wish we had a national site that would be easier for us to access.
Talk to the youth now. I mean, we've seen, we've read these stories as we're posting them on our website. Give some advice to the youth who are trapped in situations like this. And, Give them a little bit of advice about what they can do to be healthy and not to, like, go to the depths that Layla did.
Okay. There's, you know, as a youth trapped in this situation myself years ago, we know that at 18 or 17 or 16, depending on where you live in the country, you can literally escape your parents. And that's hard, it's harsh, and it's scary. But there's LGBT organizations all over the country that you can reach out to. I don't suggest you become homeless. Don't run away from home. It's going to make things worse for you. I would suggest that if they are beating you, abusing you, get a hold of Child Protective Services. Let them step into this. They're there. They won't. They take these situations very seriously. Secondly, when you're out, you can be free and be who you want to be and who you really are. It may take some time. It may take some therapy. But once you're free and out, we're here. We're all here for you. There are transgender groups. There are therapists. Everybody is available to do what they can to help you. We know it's hard. We know it's really, really bad, and you feel like it's going to be forever. It's not forever. Honestly, it's not forever. There's friends at school I'm sure you can talk to. Definitely confide in somebody. Let your closest friend who you know won't tell anybody, they will keep your confidence, talk to them. And you can have that quietly. And hopefully not, you know, hopefully keep it out of your parents' eyes. My biggest advice for you, if you're in a situation with fundamentalist Christianity, if your parents are adamant and they're going to hurt you, hide it and don't tell them. That hurts. It's not the best solution. Don't tell them right now. Get out on your own. Once you're out, you can do what you need to do, and then you can tell them when it's safe. Above all, keep yourselves safe. It's critical. And if you're feeling bad, if you're feeling suicide, call the helplines. Get on the 1-800 lines. The Trevor Project is there for you. The Trans Life Lifeline Org is there for you. We are here waiting to take calls at these organizations. Use them. They will help you as they can.
Yeah. Speaking of this, you wanted to touch on what is going on at 4chan.
Because that
kind of ties into this suicide lines.
So there was a note put on 4chan, I think it was yesterday. Again, 4chan is another haven of animals. I don't even want to call these individuals humans. These are animals. And 4chan, some of the disgusting beings on that particular channel have decided that they're going to try to call in and tie up the lines of the suicide hotlines. First off, that's criminal, to deny anybody access by using a phone dialer, you know, jamming up the telephone lines that could cost someone their lives. That could get you a prison term. There's strict laws in all 50 states on this. You just can't do that. But the kids on 4chan, or the older adults or youth who are transphobic, were making the suggestion of trying to call in and fake all this stuff to transgender operators or operators at the suicide lines as if they were trans. We need to be aware that we have many hate groups that despise us. We also need to tell everybody, don't stop calling. If you get a busy signal on one line, go to another one, or go to a third, or go to a fourth. Reach out to people on Facebook. Don't let these people, don't let these folks stop you from getting the help you got to have.
Yeah, yeah. There was also a Facebook group closed down today that was similar, and I read that. You know, a lot of organizations, like, actually contacted executives at Facebook directly to have this group shut down, which was doing the same thing, like telling people to, like, jam the suicide hotlines and such. Very, very sick depraved people that do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just had something come across one of my feeds I want to talk about very briefly. Debbie Jackson, who is the mom of the young trans kid, trans girl, I believe, they took her video where she's, you know, talking about how important it is to love her child and that, you know, God loves, you know, our children, our transgender children. And they just brutally attacked her. She said, quote, some of the most vile things I have ever read in my life are on the comments under my video. People
yeah,
are vile.
And Debbie is such a wonderful mom.
I'm
very, very proud of her. And she's really a leader for trans youth and just a remarkable person.
Yeah, anytime a parent who has a trans youth just says, where can I get help? I just refer them over to Debbie's stuff.
and Debbie's been on our show. Debbie's been here and talked about it. And, you know, what kind of vile human being goes to a mother who's supporting and loving her child and posts vile comments all over? What kind of human being is that?
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
This is what Leela was talking about. She's saying, fix society. You have to get out and fix this. And we have to fix it through banning these conversion therapies. We have to fix this by getting active and educating people. We have to get out there on a consistent basis every single day and saying transphobia is wrong, hating LGBTQ people is wrong. We have a right. We actually have a legal obligation and right to have our respect given to us. You don't have to agree with us, but you do have to respect us. We have a constitution in this country. It says for the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. That is our right, and we're claiming that right. We're not going back in the closets. And Leela's right. Fix society. We have to do this.
Yeah.
I'll make a little plug locally. Casa Ruby is, which has a trans youth hostel now, is building a LGBT youth shelter for kids from 18 to 24, and those are the kind of places that we need more of. We need to have places for homeless LGBT youth to go when their families disown them and give them support and shelter and love.
Yes. The
program is really going well. It's like getting close to the amount of money they need to actually get the work they need to get done. And I'll make sure we have a link on the website so that you can give to that too.
Also, yeah, and if you want to start something like that, you can use Casa Ruby as a reference point resource to find out what you can do. But yes, please give.
Yeah, it's really a model here. I'm proud to be in a nation's capital where we're doing as much as we can. We have our problems, but I think that, you know, our community is very strong, and we are we're doing much more than many parts of the country are to help ourselves.
Violet Acorn's death was incredibly tragic and completely preventable. Medical science needs to be used as a basis for medical treatment versus ideologies that deny transgender youth the necessary mental and medical treatment required. We are heartbroken at the loss and fully believe we need to pass legislation now to prevent any further tragedies like this from happening. Is there anything you'd like to add?
You know, we're all people. We're all humans. And Leela was our sister. She was our sibling. She was our child. And we failed her. We failed her because we should have had this legislation in place years ago. We have to correct this. We have to fix society. We have to protect our youth. And I am just driven to make Leela's law a fact in life. I'm just driven to do this. We have to protect our youth at all costs. And I really appreciate all of us taking the time to talk about it, working towards getting Leela's Law passed and raising awareness.
One thing I'd like to add and just ask Allison about is puberty blocking drugs. And I think that, one of the real misconceptions about trans youth is that people think that, at 14, 15, that kids are going to gender reassignment surgery. But the real help for young trans youth is to provide puberty blocking drugs so that they have time to be able to make their decisions about gender. And talk about that a little bit before we close up.
I'm sorry, John, can you say it one more time? You were breaking up in my headset a little bit. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. To talk about puberty blocking drugs and how that's not gender reassignment, but it's giving kids a chance to really go through the process of their gender dysphoria and make decisions before puberty comes in.
Okay. Couple things. We can block. Well, let me start where the radio station kind of led into this morning. There was a belief that we were sending these transgender youth directly into surgeons and they were having these life-altering surgeries. There was this real confusion this morning on a radio program I was on in New York. That's not true. What happens with the youth is there's a puberty blocker. And that blocker is used to block the body from changing, having a menstrual cycle or with testosterone, bathing the body with this hormone that does permanent alterations until parents can be assured of what the outcome of this child is. Professional therapists, professional doctors, the Endocrinology Association has standards of medical care that say this is what we do. We do this because we don't want the child harmed. If they go through puberty, it's going to make it difficult for their lives later on. So they block testosterone, they block estrogen until they get to the point where they are capable of having a full understanding, have a full medical diagnosis, and know exactly as best they can what the transgender status is of these children. And that's what puberty blockers are. It stops the process long enough to where there can be a medical evaluation and the children can be happy and everybody can, get their needs met, their medical needs. These are medical needs now. These aren't wishes or wants. There are standards of care. They've been around for over a decade. So that's what there is to say about puberty blockers.
I just want to add to all you young people there out there, one of the things that Leela had mentioned, is just she felt by 18 it'd be too late for her because she would be able to get puberty blockers. It's never too late. Don't let that deter you. Don't feel hopeless and despair. You can be fine after 18. And there's plenty of very happy, well-adjusted adult transgender people who can tell you that.
Look at me. I'm happy and I'm well-adjusted, and I didn't have puberty blockers at all.
Yeah.
And I am thrilled out of my life today. I'm a happy, happy, happy person. So.
Mm-hmm.
Except I'm going to pass Leela's Law, and that's the end of that. We're going to do this.
Yes, we're going to do it.
I'm going to make a plug. There's been a lot of vigils already done in memory of Leela. Next Saturday, there's going to be vigils in Washington, D.C. at 2 o'clock at the Convention Center and in New York at Columbus Circle. So. And we're hearing that more and more are being added all the time. So I would go to the website and look at the events and see if there's vigils in your area. And if not, plan your own.
And you can we can put those in at on the website, Lila's Law. Is that right?
Lila'sLaw.com. Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Yep. Great.
Okay.
All right. All right. I just want to remind everybody, and particularly our transgender youth, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are definitely not alone. You are a human being, and we're here for you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.